Well, let's take our Bibles together and look in Acts chapter 13. And we have a long portion here, so we'll just take it verse by verse, but the entire text is from verse 13 down to verse 41. And I want to speak with you on what is the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible. I remember asking a preacher one time, I said, if you just had but one word to summarize the entire message of the scriptures, what would that one word be? And this preacher struggled for an answer. He said, well, you can't just sum up the scriptures in one word. There are many different messages throughout the Bible that we have to hear. It's God's word, but many messages. That was his response. But I truly believe if a preacher has been taught of God by his Spirit, he'll know the answer. That one word that sums up all of Scripture is Christ. Now, there are different ways of describing him, but regardless of the text, whether Old or New Testament, and we have to remember that here, they only had the Old Testament scriptures, but the subject of all of the Old Testament scriptures is summarized here in the preaching of the Apostle Paul as Christ. If there was one message of Scripture that I would encourage preachers to study as to how it is we're to preach the Scriptures, this would be an example. We already have seen a number in the book of Acts. We've seen Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, and it wasn't about tongues. It was about Christ.
Now
remember, Paul and Barnabas had been sent out to preach the gospel, and they were going to preach the gospel to the nations. But their message did not change from when they were in Antioch to now, since they're on the Isle of Cyprus in Greece, that somehow they're going to preach something else. No, regardless of the audience, regardless of the culture, whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Greece, which was what Cyprus was, part of Greece, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in the United States, there is but one message from Scripture that those who preach the Bible aright preach, and that is Christ.
Antiochia, Umano Sudi Adjova Jovel, Kupro, Ada Sita Tendo, Kupro, Distinta, Sequoia Pudua, and Duomo, Projecari, and Sita I, Kupro, Ada Rigabe, Utengo, where wires of Christo. But if quite you take off, you know, so much in the Sinta, more fundamentally, Kura and Jira, and I, can we slay, can you want me to look? Kaendo Afrika, kwa Amerika, kani zikola nchi, utenga unenega kwa liki na umozu oka, njuko utenga wage, njuko kuza Yesu Christ yeka.
And the first thing that we will note here in Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 13, is that, again, it's the Spirit of God that directs preachers to go forth and preach the gospel where, when, and how he will. We saw that last time. And it says here in verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, we assume that company was Barnabas, it was also John Mark up to this point, and perhaps some others that were accompanying them from Cyprus along the way. But this is the Lord moving men into places where he has purposed afore that they would find his sheep. That's what we're going to see by the end here. But the sheep aren't always those that we think. In this chapter, we find out the sheep aren't the Jews. The sheep are the Gentiles.
Kujoka kupafu au lendo wache wa Paulo akamata lendo wache wa Paulo kana alika kuruka wangu chikuwa padari Barnaba sewale padari so mnyama na ujajoni ya yomani maliko ndiyo njuwe na msu wa mene ada yenda na au mlendo mene uo ndi ata choka kukubro ada yamba ule lendo kwa kupafu mafizihira maka maka amba pita kuna kuliponse mwene kuli mkosa za mbuye Usaiwale kosa za mbuye anali amitundu usankiba amenala yenika kukulibila utenga wa mbino. Kajifuwa jojo sana angolo kukulibila kwa alida hoka kuma anapile kumene sukuda amitundu kuma usankiba hao amite wo amachino mko kosa amenala wa kukulibila utenga wa mbino.
I want you to note the words of scripture. They're so vital and sometimes we read so quickly we miss them. But notice in verse 13, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos. To loose something means to turn it loose. It means it was tied to Paphos for a certain time. And we saw already what took place there in the conversion of Sergius Paulus, a Roman. And once the Lord had been pleased to do his work in revealing Christ in that Roman deputy, because it says there, that he marveled at the doctrine of Christ that was preached and believed on the Lord, then Paul and his company loosed. They were now loosed by the Lord to continue into another part of that island of Cyprus.
Njimeke 13, tamzina mawa mulungu, ndo funika kambiri, kwa mchipo jowele nga motamanga, tima takudusa, maalo kufunika kambiri, nita kuzi lako. Chifuwa baka kuli ndipo adamasula, mawati adamasula, akulangula zangu, amene anamangika, nakrafa mzimozi, chifuwa jejishiro, jwere stawa mango, kwa chite. Sayiwari, amene adamasula, adani, Andrew, Sigma Siloma, Menegari, Casemiro, Jasetio, Setio, Puau, Amena, to be out check our people, before Saddam, Sayanga, Sayan, Muti, Amenoti, Casemiro, Jayo, and a food, and the other way to Sajam, who Adam and Pika, Menego, Putisa, Setio, Paulo, you know, other Pusilla Amalis, and this is simply a way. Amelada wa nyamula sopano kwa maskula kwa uza uinishaya kwa mehawati. Ha? Kila ni msokolo, muka kukiraso nukeko wa kukunigira.
Now when it says there that they came to Perga in Pamphylia, this is just another part of this country of Cyprus. But notice, John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem.
You know, you can't be listening to me. Peke, Oku Pampuria, whether the very terrible remote is or a good cookro, Oma, Yohane, and Upper Banana, Navarra, Puka, Jerusalem.
We see already here that the Lord Himself is separating out those who should continue and those who should go back. We're not told here in verse 13 why John Mark returned to Jerusalem, but we know from reading later on in the book of Acts, that this separation between Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, him leaving, was the cause of even Paul and Barnabas separating later, and Paul continuing on alone.
Chimene Yohane Mariko adapa kukana kukunawele kuyerusele kubekana nao azao. Kuma chimene kukushona kwa mchona kuti. Kutoka kumayambi ino para napa kipa ulo. Adapa kusione lauka limena ite kira kukala lingira. Muda alibe Yohane Mariko. Kuma no Yohane Mariko atakone kira mkaji. Kamile so tsobroa ke adapa kukana. Kuma kuma na kumene kuja. Kuma kuma kisa so tsobro leo tika mfasuru kipa ulo.
But even in this, I would say that we see God's sovereign and providential hand. Because when you read in Acts chapter 15, and beginning with verse 36 down to verse 41, you'll see that God Himself purposed this
separation.
This was sometime later, after Paul and Barnabas had finished traveling and preaching the gospel. And it says there in Acts 15:36 that some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So the Lord was directing him now to go back to these initial places where the gospel was preached and encouraged those who were the Lord's.
You know, to go on there, I'm going to tell you,
Now you notice verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, and it says, whose surname was Mark. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them. And notice the reason. He said, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul's reasoning was, he didn't even stay with us the first time. How is it now we're going to take him with us the second time to encourage those who heard the first time and he wasn't even with us? And notice verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Paul and Barnabas, who had been united and one and going and preaching the gospel, now separated. And so Barnabas took Mark, and notice, sailed unto Cyprus. He took him right back to where they had parted. He had parted the first time. And if we have to remember, Barnabas was from Cyprus. So he's going back to Cyprus with John Mark. And that's where Paul chose Silas and departed. Notice, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now I know there are some that would say, whoa, we've got to stop right here and make sure we're unified before we go any further. And they would try to bring reconciliation. They would try to make sure that everybody moves forward at the same time. But I'll tell you, that's not how God works. I have people ask me all the time, they say, well, in the United States, what are some other preachers that you have fellowship with? And when I tell them I don't have fellowship with but a few, they say to me, well, then do you think that you're the only one preaching the gospel? And my response is, no, But you ask me whether I have fellowship with these. And I can tell you, there may be others preaching the gospel, but the Lord has not directed our path together. I'm preaching in the field where he has put me. They're preaching in the field where the Lord has put them. And I'm not trying to work out an organization here where we're all getting along. I just know I have to go in that direction as the Lord directs me. There were some that were never in agreement with Paul going and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, they believed in Christ as he was revealed in Scripture, but they believed that the message should continue to be preached to the Jews. But the Lord raised up Paul to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so there was disagreement, but not over the message. It was over the direction of the Lord. That happens. I will tell you that when the Lord first directed me to Shreveport, there were some preachers with whom I was associated that thought that I should only come here temporarily, and that because of my abilities to speak and preach in French and my growing up in Africa, that that's where I needed to be, back in Africa. And when I told them that I believe the Lord was directing me here in a completely different direction, they parted ways with me. These were ones who had been very supportive when I was preaching in Africa, but now that I was back in the States, would not have anything more to do with me. In fact, when you read in Philippians chapter 1, we see that this was what Paul endured. Those that were not in agreement as to where he was going and preaching the gospel, they weren't opposed to the message of Christ, but they sought to direct him as to where he should go and preach. And there we have to be careful, because we're not to be directed by men. That influence that Barnabas was trying to put on Paul, because remember, Barnabas was Paul's mentor. He's the one that initially went and found him in Tarsus and brought him to Antioch. And now the pressure intense for him to take John Mark, but Paul had to go as the Lord was directing him. And we're going to find that's our case many times. Notice how the Lord directed Paul to write about this in Philippians, because he's writing from prison. And he says in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, he calls them brethren in the Lord. So these are ones that have been saved by grace, waxing confident by my bonds. What he's talking about is that when they found out that he was finally in prison, they were actually thinking that's a good thing. Now maybe he will be taught of the Lord and humbled and begin to follow our direction. That's what they were thinking. And much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, what I want you to note here is Paul is not talking about false preachers opposing him. These are ones who preach Christ. A false preacher doesn't preach Christ. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even in envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Verse 16, the one preach Christ, notice, of contention. They're contentious preachers, but they preach Christ, not sincerely. And notice, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, that these are ones that are thinking now the Lord is chastening him because he's in prison, and that's a good thing. But what does he say? The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, look what he says, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. When Barnabas separated and took John Mark, that was it. Paul found someone else that the Lord directed him to, Silas, and he went on his way preaching Christ, regardless of the contention that had taken place between Barnabas and him over John Mark.
Chifuba,
What I want us to note is that the contention between Paul and Barnabas was not over the gospel. They were of one mind in the gospel, that it was over whether or not to continue with John Mark. And that thought that the Lord put in Barnabas, that he needed to continue to pair up with John Mark, brought this division so that now Paul would pair up with another called Silas. Now, instead of one team of preachers going forth, the Lord had divided them into two. One going back to Cyprus and there to continue to preach the gospel, and the other continuing on to preach throughout the Gentile nations. That's how God does it. What we need to note here is that this separation, Paul bowed to the will of the Lord in, and so did Barnabas. But it's interesting, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, toward the end of Paul's life, we read here when he's giving instruction to bring Timothy, for Timothy to bring with him when he comes to visit him in Rome. Notice verse 11, only Luke is with me. Now remember, Luke accompanied Paul during all of his ministry, gospel ministry, throughout the Gentile world. Luke is the one the Lord directed to write the book of Acts. And now toward the end, Luke is still with him. So he would have been among those that accompanied Paul and his companions when they loosed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. Luke would have witnessed this separation between Barnabas and Paul over John Mark. But here, toward the end of his life, because 2 Timothy was the last epistle that Paul wrote, we read, take Mark and bring him with thee, what? For he is profitable to me for the ministry. So he wasn't holding a grudge. Here was 20 years later, he asked that Mark come see him and bring him with you. The point that we're seeing here is that our eyes should not be on men, nor should we take our direction from men, but the Lord. And regardless of how men may separate over what they think one should do or the other, if we're the Lord's, the Lord is going to direct us by his Spirit. Sometimes one way, and sometimes another way. But nothing can truly divide those who are the Lord's.
Chisokozo chao amechipeka kwa mbuwe. Ndipo simu maenera kukulupirira ndikumadalira anthu kuli azimu tsogolerani kwa nchito ya kutumikira ai. Upungu wanu ndika kumikiribeka anu musakaseme kwa anthu ai kuma mkaseme kwa mbuwe. Chifukwa mkakasema kwa mbuwe kutumikira mkuyo akufunira. Na mene mkuyo akufunira ama lekanitsa anthu wena pantawi ina.
Now, coming back to Acts chapter 13, we see now that these minus John, verse 14, when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. This is not the same Antioch in Syria. This would be Antioch in the southern part of what is known today as Turkey, the country of Turkey. But back then, it was in Pisidia. That's what they called it under the Roman Empire.
General, so
Now it says in verse 14, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. You might ask, well, why would they go into the synagogue, especially if there weren't any of the Lord's people there? But there's the mistake. To think that somehow because there are these religious organizations around and where places where people worship, that there aren't any sheep there. You think about where you were and where I was when the Lord drew us out. So they went to the places where these people gathered for worship, but more importantly, where the scriptures were read. It was in these synagogues that the scriptures were read. And so they started there, where the scriptures were read, in order to seek out those that were the Lord's sheep.
In Matthew 14,
I remember when the Lord first directed me to the Ivory Coast back in 1980, and I settled down in this little forest town way back in the forest. I was the only white man, and I remember as people got curious as to why I had settled in that town, and they found out that I was there to preach, some of the other congregations began to invite me into their congregations to preach. And I didn't tell them, no, we're not of one faith, but I went as the Lord directed. Now, it didn't take long, just like with Paul and Silas, or here, Paul and Barnabas, it didn't take long before they were no longer welcome in these synagogues. But initially, that's where the Lord directed them. And I can remember in Ivory Coast, the congregations that are existing there now in different parts of Africa were not started on their own. The Lord gathered these together out of congregations where they had previously been worshiping but had not known God in truth. And now the gospel was brought to them, and they were separated out. That's how God does his work.
In the cinema, I am going to
I know for certainty that the gospel was not brought to Malawi because Brother James had already been separated out, meeting with his family and some other believers around the gospel. That's not where the gospel found him. In fact, I know from the story and history of the gospel coming to Malawi that you preachers were at one time in synagogues where the gospel wasn't preached. And the Lord brought his word to you. And there was a division. There was a separating out. And that's why your congregations meet separately now, because they know now how the Lord's taught you, and you wouldn't be welcome back. They wouldn't have you back. But it took the Lord coming into those places of worship where you were and drawing you out. You say, well, why didn't he draw others out? Well, because he came for those that are his.
Musaiwale kuti ambi Yesu Kristu adabwerera ukhawo amene adayenekera kapulumutsidwa chifukwa ndi osankhidwa. Imbani ndamakumbukira zamene mpingo udabwerera ku Malawi. Akusanu amwali pamodzi ndi okhulupirira kumene koko. Sikuti mudali uthenga wabwino utaonekera kale kwa inu ayi. Komano mudali ndi chipembedzo chanu chimene mbalalikirana kumapemphera koma mbalalikirana
As we read on in Acts 13 here, we're going to see there's a separation that's coming. But it began here in verse 15 of Acts 13 with the reading of the law and the prophets. That was the custom in these synagogues. Someone would stand up and read a portion from the law, and then they'd read a portion from the prophets. And then someone would give the exhortation, the explanation. Well, here the Lord directed that they should ask Paul, who was visiting them, to give an exhortation. You talk about an opportunity. It wasn't Paul that demanded it, but as he was there, they were directed of the Lord for him to speak. It says there in verse 15, after the reading of the law of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.
Amuna inu abare ngati muli nawo mawu akudandaulira anthu nenani.
I have not done so recently, but I can tell you that over the years there have been opportunities and times where when I've been traveling, I have just gone into a congregation where the Bible was believed and read, and I've been given opportunity to speak just because I'm a preacher. They ask who you are when you get there, shake their hand, and they want to know all about you. Well, I've had occasion where they told me, well, our preacher is not here this week. We had somebody else from our congregation that was going to speak, but would you speak? And they give you that opportunity. Now, in the end, it didn't turn out well because what they were expecting to hear was not what they heard. But nonetheless, the Lord directed that even in those occasions, the gospel be preached. Now, what we're going to read here, and this is why we can't do this all in one setting, but from verse 16 all the way down to verse 41 is Paul's message. And this is why I say that we have here a pattern of how it is that we are to preach the scriptures. Notice, he's preaching from the Old Testament. I know some that say, well, they didn't have the gospel because they didn't have the New Testament. Oh, no. All of Scripture has but one message, and that is Christ. If you just scan down through these verses from verse 16, he's giving a history of Israel through the scriptures, but it's all to arrive at one point that we see in verse 23. That everything God did, even in raising up David, was that verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. And notice, they don't mince words. They say, Jesus. Now, I'm confident that Paul's message was much more than what is preserved here in the scriptures. This is Luke giving us the general tenor as the Spirit directed him of his message. But we see here similarities between Paul's message and Peter's on the day of Pentecost, where he started at the beginning and came forward to show it all had to do with Christ, and even Stephen. Remember, that's how Stephen was stoned in the conclusion. They didn't have any problem in him rehearsing the history of Israel, but when it came to what is it all about, and it's all about God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's where now tempers began to flare. And when Paul begins there in verse 16, it says he stood up and beckoning with his hand. That means that there must have been some murmuring going on. Maybe some people had already heard of Paul. Maybe they'd heard that he had been once a Pharisee and now had been converted. So we don't know. There was some murmuring going on, and he raises his hand and beckons them to be quiet. And then says, notice, men of Israel. So he's addressing there the Jews. And then he says, ye that fear God, give audience. Those that fear God. He was actually addressing Gentiles who were in the synagogue that were called proselytes. And in throughout the book of Acts, where you see that distinction, men of Israel and ye that fear God, it's addressing people that were born Israelites, but those that fear God were ones that had converted to the Jewish religion who were Gentiles, and so they were called God-fearers. He's addressing here Jew and Gentile in these synagogues.
Amuna Israeli. Kuna nchi za kuti amana kula ndani Yuda amene kwao kuchi Yuda. Adabadwa ala Yuda.
See, these that fear God, they were in verse 43. They're described as the religious proselytes. These were ones that were told that in order to be a child of the kingdom, they actually had to be circumcised like the Jews. So there was a physical circumcision of the men. And then they had to learn the law. And actually, they were catechized to become Jewish worshipers, but they always held a second place position in the synagogues. The real important ones were that you had to be born a Jew. We can let you in as a Gentile, but you have to become one of us. That was the message. Now, the offense of the gospel message that causes in the end here a division between these Jewish leaders and unbelieving Jews and Paul and Barnabas is the fact that in his message, he declares that in Christ, there is no difference. There is not Jew or Gentile, bond or free. This is where this message is headed. And they became, in verse 45, filled with envy against Paul. It says they're contradicting and blaspheming. They would not have this Jesus that Paul says was the one who is the subject of Scripture all along, the message of those Scriptures. They would not have this Jesus.
Mpemene azu waja ama kumudwa. Kuruli atsokoleri achiuda, nji ayuda osa kulubirira. Pakumfa zimene Paulo amalabikira, zileko ya tsakumudwa, unyasidwa, chifuwa, ama Paulo zile utenda o wa Yesu. Chifuwa mga kote fai pakudi, kuma ayuda, pakote akama wa azu, anatuki imba, na tutsana na azo zola kuli wa di Paulo,
Now we're going to come back to this message next time. I'm just giving you a little sketch of how the message of the Bible is Christ, and how that in Christ there is no difference between Jew or Gentile, bond or free, that God has that people that he chose from eternity, from every tribe, nation, and tongue, for whom Christ came into the world to save by his life and his death. That's the message of Scripture. See, the message is one Savior, one sacrifice, and one salvation through him. It doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. That was the offense to the Jews, because they thought themselves better than everybody else, because originally they had been the ones through whom God had given his word. But all of that, as we already saw in verse 23, all that was promised to the patriarchs and David was for the raising up of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse
23. Mulibe miuda, mulibe mamidundu. Chibene tondete chifukuru, chibene utenga wabino. Antu anane kila kuruziwa nuku kuru kilira. Chifukwa, nganya ikuru yona usimbiri, ayi. Kwa chibene kuru wada kwa nilisa. Chifuani magabe tezili ya kuhoja kwa mtewi yache ya muru ngu. Wonga mwalo jesano. Ana utila Israeli, mpunuti Yesu. Pakena Israeli, wapakena makumu kwa kukunya sidwa. Ama zika kwa kuri wanjo wakao, wakuni kira.
See, we have to be careful even ourselves as to how we perceive people that the Lord brings into our congregations. Because our tendency is to think, well, if this one here was raised under the Scriptures, they're going to be more likely to understand our message than perhaps these over here that were never in any kind of congregation where the Bible's preached, but now they've come in off the street. In our minds, we're thinking that they'll have a little bit more difficulty perhaps understanding the message. How foolish. There is no distinction. God will direct his word to the heart of his people, no matter what their culture, background, or upbringing. You notice in verse 16, when he stood up to speak, He made no difference. He said, men of Israel, that addressed the Jews, and ye that fear God, you of the Gentiles that are here as proselytes, give audience. He made no distinction between Jew and Gentile. They were all put on the same footing. And you notice in verse 26, he addresses them partway through the message again. Men and brethren, he says, children of the stock of Abraham, but he doesn't even pause. He says, and whosoever among you feareth God, whosoever means of the Gentile nations that are represented here. Notice, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Not to the Jew, but to you, whether Jew or Gentile, there is that people that God has purposed to save, and to you this is sent. Well, we're going to have to pause here next week. We'll come back, Lord willing, and really look into how Christ is the subject of all of Scripture. But today, on the message of the Bible, that's what we've seen. It is Christ. It's Him crucified. And it's for those, whether Jew or Gentile, that God Himself has purposed to save. And He's going to get everyone. Everyone for whom Christ paid the debt, He's going to draw to Himself. And the rest, they're going to go about doing their religious duties in blindness, just as they did when they began. But the Lord is going to separate out His people. Well, I'd encourage you to read on through the chapter. You'll see how it all comes together. But Lord willing, next time we'll pick up again with verse 17 and just see how Christ is the subject of all of Scripture. But the message of the Bible is Christ. That's it. One word, Christ.
Chapter 13.